अथवा कुञ्जबिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर वनचारी जमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव जू की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय जय ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिव्रजा का चाचा अष्टोत्तर शतशी श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठ आचार्य जगत गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय जय अनंत कोट वैष्णव वृंद की जय नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम सिंह श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत करथा शिवा हरि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवदीप श्री मायापुर धाम की जय गंगमय जमुनमय की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की जय जय निताय गो प्रेम नंदी श्याम पेच भक्त वृंद की जय ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओ ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय पुत्रे स्मृति पवित्र शांति नमो जी सब श्री देव So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text number 20. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasmin jato yariyena cha tashat yasmad. Tashmai jata yaruta yastu apara parova. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritak svabhava. Sanchoditashtadakilam bhavata surupam. Yasmin jato yari yena cha yasyat yasmat. Tasmai jataya ruta yastu apara parova. Bhavaha karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanchoditas tadakilam bhavata surupam. Yasmin yato yarina chayasya yasmar. Tasmai jataya ruta yastu aparo parova. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanchoditastadakilam bhavata surupam. Yasmin jato yari yena cha yasya tasmat. Tasmai yatya utatya paro paro. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanchoditasakalilam bhavata svarupam. Yasmin jato yahi yena cha yasya tasmat. Tasmai jataya ruta yastu apara para pro. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanjoti tantadi. Sanchoditam tadakilam bhavata svarupam. Yasmin jato yahi naya tasya tasman. Tasmai jataya ruta yastu aparupa. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanchoditastadakilam bhavata svarupam. Yasmin yato yahi yena yasma. Yasmai jataya uta yastu aparo parva. Bhava karoti vikaroti pritakshva bhava. Sanchoditasakilam bhavata svarupam.
Jasmine, in any condition of life, yatha, because of anything, Yahi.
At any time.
Past, present, or future.
Yena.
By something.
Cha.
Also.
Yasya.
In relationship with anyone.
Yasmat.
From any causal representative.
Yashmai.
Unto anyone.
Without discrimination.
In regard to place,
person or time.
Yata.
In any manner.
Yat.
Whatever it may be.
Uta.
Certainly.
Ya.
Anyone.
Who.
To.
But.
Apara.
The other.
Para.
The supreme.
Mba.
Or.
Mbhava.
Being.
Karoti.
Does.
Vikaroti.
Changes.
Pritak.
Separates.
Swabhava.
Nature.
Under the influence of the different modes of material nature.
Sanchodita.
Being influenced.
Tat.
That.
Akilam.
All.
Mahavata.
Of your lordship.
Swarupam.
Emanated from your different energies.
Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the Bhaisharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. And therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and the energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. Please repeat.
My dear Lord,
everyone in this material world
is under the modes of material nature,
being influenced
by goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Everyone,
from the greatest personality,
Lord Brahma,
down to the small ant,
works under the influence
of these modes.
Therefore,
everyone in this material world
is influenced
by your energy.
The cause for which they work,
the place where they work,
the time when they work,
and matter due to which they work,
the goal of life
that they have considered final,
and the process for obtaining this goal,
all are nothing
but manifestations of your energy.
Indeed,
since the energy and the energetic
are identical,
all of them
are but manifestations of you.
Whether one thinks himself protected by his parents, by the government, by some place or by some other cause, everything is due to the various potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything that is done, whether in the higher, middle, or lower planetary systems, is due
to the supervision or control of the Supreme Lord. It is therefore said, karmana daiva netrina yantur diho patiye. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, within the core of everyone's heart, gives inspiration for action according to one's mentality. All of these mentalities are merely facilities given by Krishna to the person acting. Bhagavad Gita therefore says, Mataha smritir janam kenam apanoham cha. Everyone works according to the inspiration given by the Supersoul. Because everyone has a different goal of life, everyone acts differently as guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words yajmin yato jahi yena cha yasha tasmat indicate that all activities, whatever they may be, are but different features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them are created by the living entity and fulfilled by the mercy of the Lord. Although all such activities are non-different from the Lord nonetheless directs, sarvadharam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. You give up all these other duties and surrender unto me. When we accept this direction from the Lord, we can actually become happy. As long as we work according to our material senses, we are in material life. But as soon as we act according to the real, transcendental direction of the Lord, our position is spiritual. The activities of bhakti, devotional service, are directly under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Narada Pancharatra states, Sarvopari vinirmuktam tatpatrina nirmalam hirishikesh hirishikesh sevanam bhakti uchate. When one gives up materially designated positions and works directly under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's spiritual life is revived. This is described as sarupina abhashtiti, being situated in one's original constitutional position. This is the real description of mukti, or liberation from material bondage. Om agyanta mirandasya jananjanan salakayo chakshuram militandina tasmai sri vivim. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Garadha, Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So here very philosophical prayers that Prahlad Maharaj is offering to Lord Nrisingadev. And in fact, he is saying here that actually everything is the Lord. There's nothing in existence but the Lord. What we are dealing with is the energies of the Lord. In the material world, we are dealing with the material energies. In the spiritual world, we deal with the spiritual energies. But both the energies of Krishna, his spiritual energy and his material energy. For Krishna's angle of vision, he makes no difference. He sees them, they're both my energies. We make a difference for us. But from Krishna's angle of vision, there is no difference because they're both coming from him. They're both his energies. So everything is his energies. So here it's the place you work, the work itself, the cause for which you are working, the person you offer to the cause. It's all considered the different permutations and transformations of the material energy. Uh, 8,400,000 species of life. Why? Because there are 8,400,000 types of desire you can have. You get the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Three. Three into three. You permutate them together, rajas with sattva, rajas with tamas, sattva with rajas. So you get another three. The three into three is nine. So like this, if you permutate all these different energies of the Lord, these different modes, it comes to 8,400,000. Because there are 8,400,000 combinations and permutations, because the living entities, that's why they have 8,400,000 different types of desire. So therefore you can take your birth according to your the particular nature that's being offered. So this is all that's happening in this world. It's all permutations of the Lord's different energies. Prabhupada said the scientists, they're always coming up with great discoveries and things like that, but a devotee knows that whatever it is, it's nothing but a permutation, a combination of these eight energies of the Lord. Earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, sankhara. These eight energies of the Lord, this is all that material science is dealing with. They touch a little bit on psychology, on the mind and things. But that's all they're dealing with, these eight energies. So whatever they produce in their scientific discoveries, it's nothing but a combination of these eight elements, that's all. So Prabhupada, if you know this, you won't become bewildered. They look good, these scientific inventions and theories, but it's nothing but a combination of Krishna's eight energies. So all these different types of transformations and different types of energies of Krishna's, then the whole world is going on. How Krishna has arranged it, it's really difficult to comprehend. It's impossible to comprehend, actually, how simultaneously all these energies are working side by side. So, there's another verse in Bhagavad Gita expressing the same thing. That which is offered in the sacrifice is Brahman. The fire of sacrifice is Brahman. The person who's making the offering is Brahman. The result is Brahman. I can't remember the verse. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's all, everything is Brahman. So, there's a Vedic saying that the Mayavadi is also like very much. This almost seems a lot like Mayavadi, right? Everything is Krishna's energies. That mantra? Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, very famous mantra for the Mayavadis. Everything is Brahman. Salvidam. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. So, if one has the vision, then he can actually, he can realize that everything is Brahman. If he sees everything, if he connects everything to the Lord, then everything takes on its Brahman quality, because everything is coming from Brahman. There are 24, 25 elements in this world, along with the super soul. And Brahman is the source of everything. Krishna says, Brahman is situated on me at the end of the chapter of the three modes of material nature. What's it? Brahma's stan? Huh? Pratishthan, yeah. Everything, Krishna says everything is resting on my energy, on Brahman. Everything is resting on Brahman. So Brahman is the source of all the energies. So everything is Brahman in that sense, because the energy and the energetic are non-different, as being mentioned here. You cannot separate the energy from the energetic. It's like you cannot separate the sunshine from the sun. The sun's got energy, heat and light, but you cannot separate the heat and light from the sun. If you do, you won't be able to see the sun. You see the sun by the light of the sun. If there's no light on the sun and there's no warmth, you don't feel the energies, then what's the use of the sun existing? It has no meaning if you can't see it. So Krishna is not different than his energies. Without his energies, there's no meaning to Krishna. There's no meaning to God. How are we going to understand God or Krishna? We have to understand through his energies. We've got to use our mind, intelligence. We've got to... these are all energies of Krishna. If we don't have the energies, then there's no meaning to God. He's twiddling his fingers all alone, I guess, in the spiritual world. But he is one, he becomes many. So they're all, because everything comes from Krishna, he's all considered, everything is Krishna, everything is God. But what the Mayavadis like to use is, but they take it out of context, saying that, yes, Brahman is truth, but Jagan Mitya, the material world is false. So we don't say the material world is false. We say it's temporary. It's manifested and sometimes unmanifested. But it's temporary, and it has a use, and that use is for engaging in Krishna's service. So when we take Krishna's energy and use it in the service of Krishna, then that energy regains its original spirituality. It's coming from Brahman. This question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami. How we can understand transcendence, how we can understand what is Brahman. What have we got to work with? We're working with material senses. Mind is the main tool. And our different senses, which are produced from sound, which is emanated in the, which is in the ether. So it's material. The sound is material. The ether is material. The senses are material. So how we can understand Adoksaja or Brahman, what is beyond material? When all we got to work with, our tools are material. We have material mind and material intelligence, the material tools. How are we going to understand what is transcendental with material tools? Shukadeva Goswami brings him around and says, I can't understand. How is this possible? Good question. And then Shukadeva Goswami goes on to explain that, no, when this energy, even though it's considered inferior energy, when it's used in the service of Krishna, reconnected with Krishna, then it takes on its original spirituality. In other words, the science of bhakti or devotional service, engaging everything in Krishna's service, is a way to re-spiritualize yourself and the elements and everything and the whole universe. In the third canto, the process of creation, fundamental principles of material nature chapter, it's talking about the creation, how there is sound. Sound, from the sound comes the ether. Combination of that comes the air. Combination of that comes, comes the touch, the touch sensation. A combination of all those comes the... What's next? Fire, then fire comes. Then heat comes. Not that heat comes before the fire. Anyway, this is the breakdown, and they by a combination of beginning from sound and then the air and the etc. And it comes right down to the gross earth. It's a manifestation of all these different energies of Lord. So Prabhupada says that just as everything we need for our necessities in life are created by sound. Whatever you need in life, what do you need in life? You want something to eat, there's material things, you want a bed to sit on. So all these necessities, what you need in life, are coming from a sound vibration. Because that's the beginning. The beginning was sound. The Bible says also, in the beginning was the word. Om, you can say also. But, yeah, so all these different elements that we're dealing with, we're all coming from sound vibration. So sound vibration creates all of our necessities that we need in life, all of our material necessities. And Prabhupada said, when that same sound vibration, when it's purified by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When the sound is purified, then that sound creates all of your spiritual necessities. Whatever you need to advance in spiritual life, the sound vibration can do that. Purified sound. So sound vibration, then you get material objects created from sound. But you want spiritual advancement. We hear these wonderful qualities of humility and tolerance and all good Vaishnava, desirable things for the devotees. They're all created by spiritual sound vibration. So then you can make your progress back to God. Everything and the spiritual world is manufactured from a spiritual sound vibration. The spiritual world is made of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. That's the theme there. O Mother Hara, O Radha, please engage me in the service of Krishna. That's the spiritual world. That's the mood, that's the theme. So when you put it together with a spiritual sound vibration, then all of this will be created. The journey back home will be created, all the obstacles will be removed, and all your necessities and good qualities will be, and the doors of universe will open, you can penetrate and go back to God by the sound vibration, chanting Hare Krishna. So all necessities are produced, and all of the spiritual necessities are produced by a spiritual sound vibration. So then when they're purified and spiritualized, then we can understand. But with blunt material senses, we can't understand. Material, when they're just dealing with material, we cannot understand. But the same senses, when purified, then they can reveal the spiritual science. So those who engage directly in bhakti yoga, then that's it. From them, that directly they contact Krishna, they contact in the spiritual world. And for them, everything is no need to worry about so much all these different energies and how they're working and trying to understand Krishna in through his different energies. We accept from the Acharyas, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're his eternal servant. Okay, here's your Savior, chant Hare Krishna. And other Savior. So we do that, you go back to Godhead quite easily. If you want philosophy, then there's so much philosophy we have describing all these different elements and how the energies are working. But one who knows Krishna, he knows everything, Krishna says. One who knows me, you know everything. There's nothing more to be known. Just like Akrura, when he was at the Akrura Ghat and Krishna Balaram went to take their bath, Akrura came, was waiting for them to finish their bath on the chariot. Then they came, Krishna Balaram took their bath, they came back. Then Akrura took permission, I'm going to take my bath. Place in the Jamuna there. He went to take his bath. When he went to the bank, he saw Krishna Balaram were still in the water, in the Jamuna. That's funny. I thought they were on the chariot. Maybe I was dreaming. Let me go back. So he went back and Krishna and Balaram were sitting on the chariot. He said, it must be hallucination. So then he went back again, and this time he saw on the Jamuna was Balaram had become Anantashesh and Krishna had become the Lord Narayan, and he was laying on Anantashesh and all the devotees were surrounding, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Akrura offered his nice, very nice, beautiful prayers to Krishna Balaram. Then he went back, after he finished his bathing and everything, went back to the chariot, and Krishna Balaram was sitting there smiling on the chariot. You saw something wonderful in the water or on the land? And Akrura said, my Lord, when I see you, what wonderful thing have I not seen? Because you're everything. Everything is coming from you, comprise of it. So when we see you, what wonderful thing is there more to see? When we see Krishna, is everything. So therefore, sarvadanam parityaja mamikam sharanam braja. Krishna is saying here, we give up all those different varieties of religion and worship and just surrender unto me. I will protect you, Krishna. Don't fear, don't fear. Otherwise, if we were jnanis, following the path of jnana, so difficult to understand how all these intricate energies are working. Actually, it's impossible. So, we see in Prahlad's beautiful prayers, he's a Mahachan. He's using sound vibration in Krishna's service. He didn't play with his with the kids in their kids' mentality. He was always talking and getting his friends to chant Hare Krishna. So he was using that thing to glorify Krishna. So he was always aloof from everything. Even the material world couldn't touch him. So So Prahlad Maharaj is approaching Lord Nrsingadev. Where is it? Okay, yeah. So the demigods push Prahlad forward because, you know, he come for you. That's the reason he's appeared, because of you, to save you, you're his devotee. So you go and appease Lord Nrsingadev. So when Lord Nrsingadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotees. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed him on his lotus hand on his head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. At the touch of Lord Nrsingadev's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad became completely freed from all material contamination and desires, as if he'd been thoroughly cleansed. And therefore he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifested on his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes filled with tears. And thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. So here we see how Prahlad is dealing. He's also dealing with the energies. Everyone's dealing with the energies of God. But how Prahlad is dealing with the energies. And he's showing by his approach here He's approaching the Lord, and first the Lord places his hand on his head. He's very pleased to see Prahlad, so his anger subsides. He places his hand on his head and gives him a blessing. Fearlessness, meaning Lord Nrisimhadeva gives, he likes to give that blessing of fearlessness. Abhay. He places his hand on his head and makes him completely freed from all contaminations. He becomes, and all desire, all contaminations, although he'd been thoroughly cleansed. So this is the way to approach the Lord. The first you have to be cleansed. Then you can make a relationship with the Lord, because the Lord is Pavitra, he's the pure Lord. We have to approach the Lord, we have to become purified. So here Prahlad Maharaj is showing this process of purification, that first you have to become purified, then you can have a relationship with Krishna. Sambandha, this is the connection with Krishna. So first the purification goes on, and then you can reach Krishna. Then the process of devotional service. Here Prahlad Maharaj is, now he's purified, now he can offer prayers. He's choosing Vandanam. Prahlad Maharaj is famous for the, you know, there are nine angas of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarana, Vandana. Vandanam is one of them, means offering prayers. So Prahlad Maharaj, he chooses this anga of bhakti as for to express his devotion. There are nine angas, you can use all of them or just one of them. But specifically this one, Prahlad is famous for. He was offering his prayers to the Lord. So first he was purified, then he could actually take to the process of bhakti, Vandanam. So that is the abhideya, the process of devotional service. So Sambandha, abhideya. And by that process of offering nice prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, he gets the result, the goal, that's the prayojana. What was the result of Prahlad's offering prayers? What does he, the prayojana? Lord Nrisimhadeva was happy. That's the ultimate prayojana. We want Krishna's happiness. So Prahlad Maharaj, he created the happiness of Lord Nrisimhadeva. But he went through this progression of Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. First, relationship with the Lord, then service to the Lord, and then reaching the final goal. So these three aspects, that's all that's known in the Vedas. These are part of Krishna's energy. What goes on in this material world, this is just a part of it. The three modes of material nature, all their manipulations and permutations, it's impossible to work out. Impossible. That's only a part of it. There's so many other energies working simultaneously. And in this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in the Chaitanya-mrita that these features are Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Everything you do it is based on this principle. You know, I want to I want to read the book, Bhagavatam. But my eyes are not very good, so I say, you know, I can't read it. I know you're asking me to read Bhagavatam, but I can't read it because my eyes are not. You say, well, you want a pair of glasses. You can take some specs. And I say, you know what, specs? You know, you little things like this. You go to the optician and he'll check your eyes and he gives you. So you go and get the specs. You associate with the spec people. You get your specs, and then you sit down and read Bhagavatam, and then he said, I still can't see anything. No, there's a process. You've got to put them on your eye. You're going to put it in front of your eyes. And then they're, oh, really? I didn't. Okay, so now then I follow the process. Then I get the result. Oh, now I can read Bhagavatam again. So every little thing you do, Prabhupada gives another example of, you want to start a business. So first you associate with those people who are in the business, then so you get to know the field, and then you think, could I do it? I think I could. I could get it together and make this business work. So first you make some bundle, you make a relationship with the field, when the people are in the field of business. Then when you're a bit confident, then you can actually put it into practice. So you're going to manufacture some nuts and bolts or something. that's your goal. So then you actually put it into practice and you manufacture your goods. That is the abhidaya, the process. And then you sell the goods and then you get the prayojana or the goal. The goal was you have to sell the goods to get money. So you get money. So every little thing you do in this world, it comprises these three things. Everything. You want a glass of water, you have to make a relationship with the water first. And then there's a process, holding and drinking. And then you get the goal. Your thirst is quenched. That was the purpose of drinking water, right? So every little thing you do in life, it is going through these three activities. So how unlimited are the Lord's energies? We can't work it out. All these different permutations that are in this material world. We don't have to either. It's a good thing. We just chant Hare Krishna, serve Krishna. We have the conclusion. So then Prahlad, now he's able to offer such beautiful prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev is so happy. So he pleases the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose of our existence, is to satisfy the Lord. So that's why we are existing. Bahusham, many. The Vedic aphorism, God is one and he becomes many. We are many. The next question is why? Why he should become many? And the answer is? Yes, pleasure. That's Krishna's business. That's his only business. He likes pleasure. What pleasure does he like best? He likes the love of his devotees. So Krishna loves love best of all. So we are created, not created because we're eternal, as souls we are. Krishna becomes many. We are the many also. So what is the purpose of our existence? To please Krishna. That is to expand Krishna's pleasure. This is our attitude. We want to expand Krishna's pleasure. How we can expand Krishna's pleasure. And then that pleases Krishna. That by Krishna's pleasure, then that is our pleasure. You put food in the stomach, body becomes nourished, you become healthy. So we please Krishna. And then that is our actual happiness, the greatest happiness, and Krishna's happiness. So this is what the Bhakti Yoga is all about. It's bringing us to the point of pleasing Krishna. The goal is not to think, how can I get a spiritual body? What kind of spiritual body I'll get? What do you do when you got a spiritual body? Then you're with Krishna there. You're pleasing, you serve Krishna to please him. So this is the attitude. So the attitude can be had now. The spiritual body you'll get later when you go there. But now, at least you have the consciousness, the attitude of performing all of your activities for expanding Krishna's pleasure. So there's nothing outside of Krishna and Krishna's energies. Everything we see, it says here, should be an expansion of Krishna. And Krishna is none different than his energies. Ultimately, Radha Krishna is our ultimate object of worship. As followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has given us our Ishtadeva, our most worshipful Lord. Shastrically also, he has presented Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he is or even if he's not, still we worship Krishna. He's our most lovable object. So Yeah, so when we love Krishna, then we can see everything in relationship to Krishna. So then Krishna becomes everything. You can see Krishna. When Krishna expands, he becomes Lakshmi Narayan. So you can see, when you see Lakshmi Narayan, you think, oh, this is my worshipful Lord, Radha and Krishna. They're appearing in their majestic form. They're so wonderful. Or Lord is appearing in Lord Nrsingadev. You can see that. This is my Lord, my Krishna. He's appearing in this form of Lord Nrsingadev. Very, very astonishing pastime he's got. Or even you see the demigod. You see Lord Shiva and Parvati. How great are my Radha and Krishna. They're manifesting in these different forms. So all the personality, even the elements. Of course, the elements take on spiritual potency, but the gopis say, they're talking to the bokal tree. Well, did you see Krishna coming this way? Tulsi, did you see Krishna? They're seeing everything is in relation to. Into Krishna, they see their worship of the Lord everywhere. Prabhupada gives the example, the mother housewife, she's cleaning the house, she sees her daughter's shoes under the bed. She doesn't see the shoes, she sees her daughter. Because her love is very strong and it becomes prominent, it becomes manifest, much more stronger than the shoe, her love for Krishna. So she sees her daughter, she doesn't see the shoe. The gopi sees the black tree, Srimati Radha sees the tamala tree, black, Krishna. She sees Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, it's not exactly that she doesn't see the tree, but she sees Krishna. Like a superimposition. But because of her love for Krishna is so strong, a little black or black tree, it reminds her of Krishna, then Krishna comes out because he is strong. Her love is for Krishna is stronger than it. So she doesn't see the tree, she sees Krishna. But it's not that the tree disappeared or anything. So like that, this is the elevated, ultimate elevated consciousness that we see with the inhabitants of Vrindavan. How they see Krishna in everything and within everything. So in that sense, yes, Krishna is everything. Everything is within Krishna. The energy and the energetic, you cannot separate them. Srimantini Devi. Mahaprabhu, she was crying, I am Maya Devi. Parvati, I am Maya Devi. I'm never going to get your darshan because I'm your shadow. Chaiva Durga, I am your shadow energy. I have to stand behind you. The shadow is always behind. The shadow cannot stand in front of the sunshine. It's always backside. So I'm your shadow energy. I'm your Maya. I'm Maya. I'm never going to get your darshan because I'm always behind. Godhead is light. Ignorance is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no darkness. But the shadow is there. So she's saying, I'm your shadow. I'm Maya Devi. What is my position? Everyone's going to get your mercy. You're giving freely, but I'm the only one in the universe who won't get it. Because I've got to always keep backside. What did Mahaprabhu say? From my angle of vision, I see you none different than Srimati Radharani. Maya Devi. So Mahaprabhu had that vision. No, you are my energy. It's my energy. You cannot separate the energy from the energetic. So there's one energy. Krishna expands at that one energy. It's not two energies. But one is the shadow and one is the reality. So according to your Krishna consciousness, then Maya will reveal the shadow or she will reveal the reality. So you cannot separate the energy from the energetic. Otherwise, there is no meaning. There is no meaning to Krishna. If you take away his energies, that means all of his pastimes, all gopis, all the boys, they're all his energies. The forests and the cows, and what are you left with if you separate God from his energies? So he may just as well not exist. So this is the philosophy. The Mayavads twisted around a little bit. the energy is Maya. It's Maya, but it's temporary. It's not fault. It's false in the sense that it's illusory. But it does exist. And when it's used properly in Krishna's service, then it takes on its natural spiritual function. Just like you put an iron rod in the fire, it becomes fire, it becomes red hot. You touch a book, it'll burn. It's not iron anymore, it's fire. So similarly, when we use everything in Krishna's service, then Prabhupada said the whole world become like Vaikuntha. You're using everything, it'll regain its original spiritual status. So in this way, this is how this movement spreads all over the world from this temple. Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoipi Bikash goes all over the world. It's giving people a higher taste. We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're transforming all the material into spiritual. And those who come, then they can feel this spiritual presence. They'll chant and dance also, and they'll tell others to chant, and like this it'll spread because of this actual taste of spirituality. And everybody chanting, it transforms the whole environment into Vaikuntha. So we don't have to preach, we simply chant the holy names of Krishna, and the vibration, the creation, it'll recreate the spiritual potency of the material energy to revive it to its original status. It's coming from Brahman, it's an aspect of Brahman. And so by this process of devotional service, we can transform all the material world into a spiritual world. The Prabhupada said it will become just like Vaikuntha. Dancing, chanting, taking Mahaprasadam. And people will just get caught up in that that loving feeling, which is called devotion, which is what Krishna likes best of all. Otherwise, material energy will. If you don't use your mind to cultivate Krishna consciousness, then the mind will become your enemy. Krishna says, "Mind is like water. Water will always find the lowest place. So if you leave the uncontrolled mind, it will always bring you down, it will find the lower place." So Krishna says, be very careful. Usha mana mana bhava madbhakti, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. Then the whole world becomes transformed into the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you. Any comment, question? Yes. Yes, exactly. Intellectual. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, some people, Mahaprabhu came to give his prem freely. Some people took it, some people didn't take. Those who took it were fortunate. Those who were unfortunate, they could not take. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let's consider the unfortunate, why that person was unfortunate. And he said, because he was overly proud of his own intelligence, he was doing things according to his I'll do my way, I'll do it my way. I'll get accomplished things my way, using my own intelligence. He's overly proud of his own intelligence that he thinks, you know, I'll do it my way, a spiritual life, I'll do it my way, the way I like to do it. And yeah, because in our experience, we use our intelligence to get something done and we get a result from it. So we're attached to that intelligence of getting things done. So like that, we're overly attached to to his intelligence. That's the problem, overly attached to intelligence. And Bhishma Dev also says the same thing. In the Navadvipa Mahatmya, Bhavataranga and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in Bhishma Tila, and Bhishma Dev appears before him and explains how this is the spiritual realm here. He said, but as long as your intelligence still sticks to material identity, then the Dham will not be visible to you. So he's saying the same thing almost in another way. As long as your intelligence still sticks to material identity, it's quite easy to stick to material identity. I really think I'm a man. I think sometimes you may think you're a woman. Our intelligence sticks to material identity. We have identity. It's very strong. So when the intelligence sticks to it, then it becomes difficult. So you're right again. But in the beginning of devotional service, when you come and you get a lot of bliss and the ecstasies and things, that is actually real. That is it causes mercy of the Lord. Millions and millions and millions of births, you've avoided Krishna consciousness. Turned your face away from Krishna. Now you turned your face towards Krishna. He's so happy. So happy at last after all these. So he gives you special mercy to encourage you. You know, don't go, don't leave. Now you started, don't leave. Keep chanting. So actually, because we don't deserve it, but everybody gets experiences of bliss in the beginning. Some, but then, you know, we have the process of sadhana that's been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Charis. So that's okay, we do it. Now we have to do that sincerely, with faith in it, in that process. Then we'll get the results. The result will come according to our sincerity, how we put this into practice. But in the beginning, actually, it's causes mercy of Krishna. It's causes mercy. She was talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. She was meditating on Gauranga. She had heard from Lord Shiva. So she came to here, Shimantadweep, began meditating, and then Gauranga came with all the devotees.
She was seeing him already.
Yeah, she was seeing him. Yeah. She heard from Shiva. Gauranga, he was chanting, Gauranga, 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 in ecstasy. So she said, you know, what's that name, Gauranga? It's the name of Krishna. It must be because I'm feeling ecstasy when you chant Krishna's names. But I've never heard Gauranga, Gauranga before. Tell me what it is. So then she explained Navadvipa Dham, how Krishna's going to come, give Braja Prem freely. So immediately she came down, he told her to come and meditate. Yeah, so she was meditating, so she was transcendental at that time. So therefore she could stand in front of the Lord. But she identified herself as the illusory energy of the Lord out of her humility. But Gauranga said, no, from my angle of vision, I see you as none different than Madhuri. Without your help, I cannot perform my pastimes. You are Yogamaya. As in Vrindavan, you are Purnamasi. I can't do anything without your help. Yeah. Rukmini also, you know, when Krishna was teasing Rukmini, the chapter in the Krishna book. And after the whole thing evolved and she teased her and she was upset and all that. Anyway, he had a plan behind it to experience some rasa with her. So he wanted to see her upset and crying and things like that. But at the end of that chapter, you'll see that she prays to Krishna that the your glance is actually in the mode of passion. She's referring as Krishna to Mahavishnu. Now, when he glances for and makes the creation, so creation is passion to create it. So your creation, your glancing over the material energy, is an act of passion. Passion. I am anxious only for your passionate glance over me. Here, she's identifying herself as Maya Devi, because Krishna throws his glance over Maya. So she said, I'm anxious only for this when you throw your glance, a passionate glance over me. Out of her humility, she's speaking as if she's Maya Devi. But anyway, the idea is that she's authority. She is the Lord's energy. But she's saying that there is no difference. She's identifying herself as Maya Devi, but she is actually the goddess of fortune, Rukmini. Hare Krishna. Let one man do that. Hare Krishna. Should we pray to Maya Devi for a solution? Should we? Pray to devotion for Maya, to Maya Devi. You don't have to pray, she gives it anyway. If you become a Krishna Bhakta, automatically she will give. She has the thankless task of binding everyone in the material world. That's her business. Maya Devi. She has the trishul. Trishul. Durga Devi. They represent Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik, Adi Devik, the miseries. So she is constantly prodding everyone. Every moment. You've got one, two, or three of these clashes. This is the prodding of Maya. So when a person becomes a devotee of Krishna, then she's so happy. She's so happy. Oh, I don't have to punish him anymore. Keep him in this Durga, this prison house. She's so happy. And because she is the mother of the demigods, everybody respects Durga as the mother of the universe. They're all like her children. All the demigods are her children. So she orders all the demigods. 8 million. 33 crores of devatas. She orders them, now you leave him alone, restore your influence, and you clear the path through the universe back to Godhead. Because it's your jurisdiction, your demigods are in charge of it, so you give this devotee, he's a Krishna devotee, you give him... This is ordered by Maya Devi to, of course she's to the demigods. So he goes back. So this is in the Brahma Samhita, that prayer, Chaiva Durga, mentioned... Bhaktisiddhanta mentioned, this is the way to propitate Durga Devi. We have Durga Puja, Calcutta, big program and big, and they play the Hindi song, film music and things like that very loudly. Anyway, big festivals are going on. Durga Puja, but in the Brahma Samhita, it mentions that actually the way to propitiate Devi, the way to worship Devi, is to become a devotee of Govinda. That is the way to do it. When you become a devotee, that is how you propitiate, how you worship. So although she's Maya Devi, then she herself takes that responsibility to and go back to God to help the living entity back to God. So that there's no need to ask her. Can do no harm if you ask also. But simply by worshipping Krishna, that is her pleasure, her greatest pleasure. Somebody had a question on the left. Yes?
With the right process. Similarly, associating with the devotees with that process. So what is the process? With associating with the devotees and to get the benefit from associating with the devotees, but there is the process. So what is the process?
Yeah, first you make a relationship with the devotees. You're interested in making spiritual life and you think someone can help you, so you make a relationship with him. And then you sit down to get, that's the sambandha. Then you sit down and you discuss Krishna Katha. That's the abhidaya, the process of bhakti. And as a result, you get enlightenment, your happiness, and the prayojana. Everything is there, every little thing you do, these three functions are there. Did you catch it? Not only that, but within sambandha, there's also sambandha abhidaya and prayojana. To achieve your sambandha, your relationship, that's your goal. All right, first I have to get sambandha. So to get sambandha, I have to start with the process of getting that sambandha. Then that becomes sambandha abhidaya and prayojana. Then I get the sambandha. These are all the energies of the Lord. How the Lord's got really intricate energies are working as well. But yeah, but that's all that's happening, Mahaprabhu said. These three for activity in the world, this is how it's happening. This is how the world works. By these three, that's nothing outside of these three things. I mean, more things also, but.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 8,400,000, yes. There are three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. By permutating. Prabhupada gives you an example. You have three primary colors, red, blue, yellow. Yeah? Red, blue, yellow. You've got three colors. You mix the red and blue together, you get purple. You mix the red and yellow together, you get orange. You mix the blue and yellow, you get green. So there's another three. So now you've got three and threes. So you only permutate those, different mixtures of each. The three into three goes nine, nine into nine is 81, and like that it goes on. Different combinations.
Nine, 81.
Huh? How it becomes 84? 8,400,000 species. You keep going. I tried it, I couldn't actually get it, but someone else told me. But someone else said they worked it out. But anyway, we have to accept. Prabhupada said 8,400,000 species, because you've got 8,400,000 permutations, and the 8 million, they have different types of desire. So to fulfill that desire, then you have these 8,400,000 mixtures. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare. It's called sambandha, means relationship. Abhideya means the process or the practice. And the prayojana means the goal, why you are doing something, you're expecting some goal. So I give Prabhupada's example that he gave. You want to start business, you make a relationship with people who are in the field. When you're convinced you can do it, you put it into practice, you make your factory, whatever it is. And then you sell your goods, and then you get the prayojana, the result. That is your profit. That's why you establish. Yes. Oh. I'm very thirsty. I say, and someone says, you should take some water. So I have to make a relationship with water. So then I get my water. Okay? So the sambandha, I made a relationship, I got the water. But I'm still thirsty. And someone says, no, this, you got to, there's a process. You got to pick it up and you got to pour it in your mouth. That's the process, that's the abhideya. Oh, really? Okay. So then I... Oh, that's nice. I get the result. My thirst is quenched. And I'm happy. Now, this condensation of... This is the sum total of all the activities that were being performed by this relay. So you condense this aspect, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. It means to know Krishna, sambandha, to know Krishna, to serve Krishna, that's the abhideya, the process, devotional service, and to love Krishna. That's the final goal. So this is the condensation of sambandha, abhideya, to know Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. You love Krishna? Yeah, Krishna will see by your service attitude. Don't try to see Krishna, but you act in such a way, Krishna will see you. That is bhakti. Yes, sir. At the back.
Does?
What?
Human life.
Okay. Some people think it has no meaning. They jump off the bridge or something like that. The purpose of life is pleasure. Whatever you do, why you do, everyone is doing different activities, but we have the same purpose, it's pleasure. I'm doing something, you're doing a different type of activity, but the goal is the same. I want pleasure, you want pleasure. So this is the actual purpose of life. Pleasure, therefore Krishna, in the spiritual world, everything's based around serving Krishna. It's Krishna's pleasure. In the material world, it's all based around my pleasure. I'm in the material world and I'm trying to imitate Krishna as being the enjoyer and controller, like I want to take Krishna's position. But the real purpose of life, the real purpose of creation, of manifestation, because the soul is eternal, is to please Krishna, is to expand Krishna's pleasure. So when we find the ultimate goal of life, which we should do, atobramajigasha, when you've got human body, you can make the inquiry, and what is the purpose of life? And then ultimately, we'll come to the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and we are His eternal servants. And our business is to serve Him. And when we put that into practice, we actually serve Krishna. That is the achievement of the goal of life. That consciousness remains with us. When we leave the material world, go back to the spiritual world, the consciousness remains the same, which is simply here to expand Krishna's pleasure, to assist in His service. So we're developing that consciousness now. Even in the material world, we can develop the consciousness. But you have to meet a sadhu, be enlightened by the sadhu. Otherwise, the whole world is in ignorance. They're all identifying, I am this body, and the purpose of life is to satisfy my senses. That's very prominent. That's the only propaganda practically in this world. Nobody wants to hear a spiritual life. But the whole way of the whole education is based on this point of it being the enjoyer. All the different processes, they're all based on this. So you have to meet a pure devotee like Prabhupada, and we have a connection through the parampara to the spiritual world. So if we take shelter there and follow their instructions, and we give our lives to Krishna, because that's what our lives are meant for. That's why Krishna created us, although we're eternal. But that's the purpose of our being, is to expand Krishna's pleasure. When we put ourselves in that situation, then there's nothing else to be achieved in life. We just want Krishna's pleasure. That is the whole purpose of life. If you don't want to do that, then Krishna gives you the unlimited material universes. You stay in the cycle of birth and death, trying to experience happiness in the material world, in between the birth and death, and old age and disease. But good, you have to ask this question. Very good. What is the purpose of life? That is the. Yeah, that means human life is beginning at that point. Difficult. Krishna says, "Bahunam jamananti." After thousands and thousands of birth of being a jnani, being a man in knowledge, searching for the truth, it takes him thousands and thousands of years. Ultimately, he comes to the point of accepting Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Actually, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. It took thousands and thousands of births. But Prabhupada said, this is the result of thousands of births of knowledge. You come to the point of Vasudeva Sarvamiti. You surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada said, now I'm telling you to surrender to Krishna because He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you hear me and you surrender to Krishna, then you skip thousands and thousands of births, because you come to the conclusion of thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, searching for knowledge. You come to the conclusion of taking shelter of Krishna. So this is the advantage. You meet a pure devotee, he tells you, surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. You do that, you skip thousands and thousands of births of being a jnani, because you come to the conclusion. Otherwise, yeah, so it is possible, but Krishna says it. After thousands and thousands of births, or being a jnani, you know, you're searching for truth. It's very rare. But if you take to the process of bhakti, if you under the guidance of a pure devotee, then very quickly all your perfection in life will be there very quickly. In one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead. Why thousands? Bhavanam, thousands and thousands of births. Why wait? One lifetime, you can do it. So Prabhupada would say, at least give one life to Krishna. You give him thousands of your lives to to Maya, give one lifetime to give this life to Krishna. What's the loss? And you go back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Mahabhagatam ki jai, Shama Beda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur.
This is you.
Oh, isn't that good?
This is me. Yeah, this is you. And this is Nityananda, and he's embracing you. I made it in the 90s. You like it?
Beautiful. I'm longing for this moment to happen.
This is already happening every day.
Nitai is known as Taraka.
Taraka.
Taraka. It's liberation. And Taraka is Krishna, he gives love.